السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون يدعوهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. ان آیات کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ یقیناً وہ لوگ جو اپنے رب کے روب سے ڈرنے والے ہیں اور وہ لوگ جو اپنے رب کی آیات پر ایمان لاتے ہیں.
The translation of the verses that have been just recited is, verily those who fear their Lord holding him in reverence, and those who believe in the signs of their Lord, and those who ascribe not partners to their Lord, and those who give what they give because their hearts are full of fear, because to their Lord they will return. These it is who hasten to do good works, and these it is who are foremost in them. These are verses from Surah Al-Mu'minun. The next verses that were recited are from Surah Al-Bayyinah. The translation of those verses is, their reward is with their Lord, gardens of eternity, through which streams flow. They will abide therein forever. Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him. That is for him who fears his Lord. In the last Friday's sermon, I spoke with reference to Ramadan. I stated that in order to take maximum benefit from Ramadan, it is necessary to reform your words and deeds. It is then that the fasting can prove to be a means of drawing near to God. I also mentioned that when one fasts with the khashiyat of Allah the Almighty within their heart, he or she subsequently derives beneficence from Ramadan. As I was speaking with reference to Ramadan, I linked fasting with khashiyat. Therefore, the connection between fasting and khashiyat was elucidated. Whereas otherwise, every virtue that a person tries to perform becomes a true virtue at that point when he has khashiyat within his heart. Last time I said that some parts of this subject had been left over. I actually wanted to explain khashiyat. But in any case, now there has been some addition to this topic. Therefore, I will now explain this today. We commonly use the word khashiyat. However, if we comprehend its essence and spirit, it will increase our level of performing virtues. For this reason, I shall also present the lexical meanings of this word today. The general meaning of the word khashiyat is of fear. Indeed, this meaning is also correct. One who possesses fear of Allah the Almighty is drawn towards piety and virtue. It should, however, be borne in mind that the fear of Allah the Almighty is not similar to any ordinary fear and awe. This is why the lexicons have explained this. For example, one lexicon explains that the connotation of awe is more present in the word khashiyat than fear. Another difference between khashiyat and fear is that khashiyat entails that awe which is born of the greatness of a being. Whereas fear connotes the weakness of the one who fears. Hadrat Musleh Maud, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, has explained this in great detail in the context of the lexicons. Then Imam Raghib, in his lexicon Mufrizat al-Quran, states, Al-Khashya is that fear which overcomes the heart due to someone's greatness. This is normally born by virtue of having knowledge of something that one is in awe of. It is for this reason that in the verse of the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ, that only those of his servants who possess knowledge fear Allah. Imam Raghib writes that in this verse, khashiyat of Allah has been especially associated with the knowledgeable people. It is the method of Imam Raghib that he explains words of the Holy Quran in light of different verses. Here he has mentioned this verse. In addition, Imam Raghib states, those people are in awe of the greatness of Allah with regards to whom the Holy Quran states, وَمَنْ خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ, who fear the gracious God in secret. In other words, this can only happen when such fear is produced in the heart, which is a requisite of knowledge and perception of God the Almighty. Thus, this is the explanation of khashiyat. Khashiyat is that fear which is produced out of the greatness of something or a being. This awe does not only develop out of one's weakness. Khashiyat of Allah the Supreme is most certainly of the type that it entails the expression of the greatness of Allah the Almighty, along with a person's confession of lowliness in comparison. What is greatness of Allah the Almighty? It is to have belief that Allah the Almighty is the possessor of all powers. He encompasses everything. All has been created by Him, and all is maintained by Him. Everything is the property of Allah the Almighty and is only obtained through His permission. Thus, when one comes to believe in such a powerful and omnipotent God and develops khashiyat in his heart for Him, it is only then that one derives full benefit from God's powers. Here also a question arises in people's mind. Allah the Almighty has stated, only those have true khashiyat who possess knowledge. So therefore, can everyone who is a scholar or everyone who considers himself to be a scholar have khashiyat in their heart of Allah? And on the other hand, those who have a lack of knowledge, can they not reach that level of khashiyat that Allah the Almighty expects us to? If this is the standard, that only those people who possess knowledge can reach this level, then nowadays we find hundreds and thousands of such so-called scholars who do not practice what they preach, who do not properly comprehend the Holy Quran, who have not only rejected the Imam of this time, but rather have stooped to the lowest levels in their opposition to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Yet they call themselves scholars. Therefore, undoubtedly, these facts compel us to reflect and ponder that the definition of ulama, or a scholar, or one who possesses knowledge, mentioned here by Allah the Almighty in this verse, is something else. And that those who Allah the Almighty has referred to as those possessing knowledge are in fact other people. If we consider every single person to be a scholar who graduates from a religious madrasa, as is normally the case in our countries nowadays, or every such person who are ordinary person of the world, or those around him consider to be a scholar, or those who have acquired secular knowledge, because there is a different aspect to a scholar. There is one who obtains religious knowledge and there is another who obtains secular knowledge and reach the heights of individual knowledge in that field. There are major scientists who carry out scientific experiments, for example. In terms of secular knowledge, they have no parallel. So this would also be incorrect to only consider one who possesses secular knowledge to be a scholar. There are some who have secular knowledge who do not even believe in the existence of God, let alone having the khashiyat of Allah in their hearts. So here we have to search for the definition of one who possesses knowledge. Who is one who truly possesses knowledge? Neither are those so-called religious scholars referred to here who are immersed in materialism, and nor are secular scholars being referred to here. I should also clarify this point here, that indeed, Islam is the perfect religion. Those who possess religious knowledge also claim that we have acquired this knowledge of the religion. Some amongst them even convey the message of Islam. However, even the spread of Islam is amongst the decrees of God the Almighty. But this spread of Islam will not occur as a result of these kind of scholars who have worldly interests at view or whose materialistic desires are greater and who have no trace of the khashiyat of Allah within them. Perhaps I mentioned this before also. During my recent tour of the USA, when I was interviewed by a journalist from the TV, that what are the prospects of Islam spreading in America? So I responded to him, inshallah, Islam will not only spread in the USA, but in fact in the entire world. However, it will not spread as a result of the so-called caretakers and scholars of Islam. In fact, it will spread through the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. It will spread by winning over people's hearts. It will spread by conveying a message of love, affection and peace rather than one of extremism and terrorism, such teachings that many of these scholars present nowadays. For such teachings of extremism and terrorism are against the Holy Quran. True Islam today is only and only with Jamaat-e-Ahmadiyya. These teachings have been vividly explained to us today and taught to us by the Imam of this time, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi. He has given us true perception and insight with regards to the teachings of the Holy Quran. He has opened unto us the reality of the khashiyat of Allah, and he has clarified that real khashiyat of Allah is not the monopoly of anyone. Ulama being referred to here does not only relate to a certain group of people. The khashiyat of Allah is not something that is restricted. Rather, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to take every single person of the world close to Allah the Almighty. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to make ordinary people into people of God. A person cannot become a godly person until he has the khashiyat of Allah within him. There were prolific robbers and bandits who came into the fold of Islam and became pious and righteous persons. This was only for the reason that they came to learn true perception and discernment regarding the khashiyat of Allah. In his pronouncements, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace in manifold places, has narrated the accounts of the saints, Tazkaratul Awliya. This he has mentioned in numerous places. I will present one example from the accounts of the saints regarding Fuzail bin Iyaz. It is said that once there was a delegation that stayed at night. One person was reciting the verse of the Holy Quran. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has not the time arrived for those who believe that their hearts should feel humble at the remembrance of Allah? This verse had such an impact upon Fuzail that he felt as if an arrow had struck him. Expressing regret, Fuzail stated, "How long can I carry on pillaging? The time has arrived to walk in the path of Allah the Almighty." After saying these words, it is written that he broke into tears. Thereafter, he engaged himself in spiritual worship and exercise. Afterwards, he was in a desert where there was a caravan, which had encamped. Amongst the people of the caravan, someone was saying, "Along this route, Fuzail plunders. For this reason, we should change our path." Overhearing this, Fuzail exclaimed, "Do not fear at all. I have repented and renounced banditry." He then sought apology from all the people that he had harmed. Thus, those people who were once bandits and thieves became famous by the salutation of Rahmatullah Ilay, may Allah have mercy upon them. So this is the miracle of Khashiyat Allah. When knowledge and realization of Khashiyat Allah dawns upon a person, an ordinary person comes into the rank and file of scholars, to the extent that even the worst of people who are completely disliked in that age witness this change. Whereas, on the other hand, we find many seemingly important robe-clad individuals steeped in arrogance. Whereas the ordinary public consider such people to be extremely pious, however, they do not have khashiyat. Those who are arrogant towards people can never have the khashiyat of Allah within them. So therefore, here, the khashiyat of those who possess knowledge or the scholars means something else. Who is one who possesses knowledge and what is khashiyat? The true definition of this is something else. we are most fortunate that by virtue of accepting the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, we have come to know the true definition of khashiyat. I will present the true definition of khashiyat in the words of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, as he explained on various occasions. Initially, I thought I would just present one or two extracts. However, all the extracts I have selected are such that they are essential to present. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "People who fear Allah the Exalted are those who have perfect knowledge of His greatness, power, favors, and beauty. By virtue of their connotation, khashiyat and Islam are in fact one and the same. Because the meaning of perfect khashiyat is bound by the meaning of Islam. Thus, the gist of this verse of the Holy Quran would be as follows, that true knowledge and perception of Islam can be obtained by virtue of the greatness of Allah the Almighty, the Glorified, the High. In other words, it is mentioned in these verses of the Holy Quran, he who gains perception and knowledge of Allah the Almighty's attributes becomes an alim, one who possesses knowledge and a scholar. So therefore, to become a true Muslim, it is necessary to have complete knowledge of his attributes and his greatness. And this cannot occur without khashiyat. For this, there is no distinction that only a certain segment can obtain this and no one else can. In accordance with every person's capabilities and strengths, it is necessary for every believer to strive to acquire this. It is only then that the faith can progress. It is only then that one's relationship with God strengthens. Therefore, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has declared khashiyat and Islam as one and the same thing. Thus, a true Muslim has been brought rank and file with the scholars and those who possess knowledge. A responsibility has also been placed upon us that gain knowledge of the attributes of Allah the Almighty. Then, in accordance with His commands, strive to manifest those attributes in your state and condition. When you carry this out, further doors of the blessings of God will open upon you. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, it is more or less the nature of man that he attains guidance after having perfect knowledge of Allah the Exalted. As Allah the Exalted states, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Only those of His servants who possess knowledge fear Allah. Indeed, those of satanic disposition are outside this principle. That is, those who by nature have a satanic disposition are not included in this. In short, those who claim to possess knowledge but do not tread on the path of guidance. They are not truly alims or those who possess knowledge or scholars, however much apparent knowledge they may hold. If that person claims that he has read the Holy Quran undoubtedly is not wrong. In fact, the claim of the one who reads it is erroneous. He has not endeavored to acquire that essence. Without doubt, the Holy Quran provides knowledge and spiritual discernment to one who has khashiyat in his heart. But an arrogant person, one whose heart is devoid of khashiyat, one who is unjust, only suffers a loss, he would not gain anything from the Holy Quran. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, knowledge does not signify logic or philosophy. Rather, true knowledge is that which Allah the Exalted grants merely through His grace. Such knowledge is a source of having true awareness and knowledge of Allah the Exalted, and it generates divine khashiyat, as is stated in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. If knowledge does not bring about advancement in khashiyat of Allah the Exalted, then remember, such knowledge is not a source of progression in divine knowledge. So those people who do not utter anything but lies, those who only act in accordance with their materialistic greeds, those who only utter abusive words, For example, look in Pakistan nowadays, even in many of the mosques here, during their sermons, they only express profane language against the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and the Jamaat, and nothing else. So, are these those scholars in whose heart is the khashyat of Allah? The answer to this is emphatically no. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "Remember, it is always the foolish who slips. When Satan slipped, it was not due to knowledge, but due to foolishness. If he had excellence of knowledge, he would not have slipped. The Holy Quran does not condemn knowledge. In fact, it states, "Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "A half-learned mullah or a scholar by name is renowned as a danger to the faith. Therefore, my opponents were not destroyed because of knowledge. In fact, it was ignorance that ruined them." Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Alim-e-Rabbani, that is, a godly scholar, does not signify only one who is matchless in his expression of language or logic. Rather, Alim-e-Rabbani, a godly scholar, is that person who is always in the fear of Allah the Supreme, and who does not utter foul language." However, such an age has dawned upon us that even some of those who wash the body of the dead call themselves scholars. It is a tradition in some places in the subcontinent that specific people are sought to wash the body of the dead. They also have started calling themselves as scholars. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "In this way, the word is greatly demeaned, and its meaning and connotation has been taken against the will and objective of Allah the Exalted. Whereas the Holy Quran has stated this as a quality of the learned. Innama yakhsha Allahu min ibadihi al-ulama. Only those of his servants who possess knowledge fear Allah. That is, only those are scholars who fear Allah the Exalted. It will now be essential to observe that those who do not have the qualities of khashyat and taqwa of Allah are absolutely and certainly not worthy of being called by this title. In fact, ulama is the plural of alim. Knowledge is something that is certain and absolute. True knowledge is acquired through the Holy Quran. It is not obtained through Greek philosophy or in the current British philosophy. Rather, true knowledge is found in the philosophy of the faith. The excellence and zenith of a mu'min, of a believer, is that he attains the status of a scholar. Now here, there has been no distinction. It is said that the pinnacle of a mu'min or a believer is in attaining the status of a scholar and in achieving the state of certainty of knowledge and faith, which is the pinnacle of knowledge. Every person who believes, every Muslim who progresses in faith is called a mu'min, a true believer. They would not need a certificate or degree for this. It is said that they attain the status of scholars. They achieve the state of certainty of knowledge, which is the pinnacle of knowledge. However, those who are not blessed with true knowledge and on whom the paths of divine knowledge and insight are not opened may call themselves scholars, but they are completely deprived of the merits and qualities of knowledge. They do not have the light that is found from true knowledge. In fact, such people are entirely in loss and deficit. They fill the hereafter with darkness. Those who are given true knowledge and insight of God are given that knowledge which results in khashyat of Allah. They are those who have been likened to the Israelite prophets in the Hadith. Therefore, these are true alims, or those who possess knowledge. Regarding the scholars of today, that is, those scholars who are self-professed scholars and who do not live up to that with their deeds. It is mentioned in the Hadith with regards to them, "Ulama'uhum sharru man tahtadi dissamai min indahim takhrujul fitnata." وَفِيهِمْ تَعُودْ That is, the religious scholars of this time will be the worst creation under the heavens. For all disorder will come from them and will return to them. You can see today that all the fights, quarrels and disorder is as a result of these so-called scholars and religious Muslim clergy. So therefore it is evident also from this hadith that every scholar is not one who possesses khashyat of Allah, or every person who professes himself to be a scholar does not contain this khashyat of Allah. Further, we witness that the majority of these so-called Muslim scholars are the source of the disorder that is prevalent today. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, Taqwa and the fear of God is born out of knowledge, as Allah the Exalted Himself states, Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. That is, only those fear Allah the Exalted who have knowledge. This clearly shows that true knowledge generates khashyat of Allah. And Allah the Supreme has associated taqwa with knowledge. A person who is a scholar in the real sense will definitely develop khashyat of Allah within him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, By knowledge, I mean knowledge of the Holy Quran, and not philosophy, science or other fields. For in order to attain them, taqwa and piety are not conditional. In fact, just as a sinful and wicked person can learn those fields, so can a religious person. However, knowledge of the Holy Quran is not given to anyone apart from the righteous and the religious. Thus here, knowledge signifies knowledge of the Quran, which generates taqwa and khashyat of Allah. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, One should not be deceived by the word ulama, a scholar or those who possess knowledge. A scholar is one who fears Allah the Exalted. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. That undoubtedly those from among his servants who fear Allah the Exalted are the ones who possess knowledge. Their servitude and khashyat of Allah is so heightened that they directly acquire knowledge and awareness from Allah the Exalted and gain beneficence from it. This status and rank is found through complete obedience and utmost love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that a person is completely imbued in his color. Thus, this is the reality of alim, one who possesses knowledge or a scholar. This is the meaning of one who possesses knowledge having khashyat of Allah, where these extracts distinguish between a true scholar and a so-called and professed scholar. There, on the other hand, it also draws our attention to adopting true taqwa and to developing khashyat of Allah. Because this is essential for a mu'min, for a believer. This is so that we can become a true mu'min, a true believer and a true Muslim. Therefore, this responsibility has also been placed upon us. This is not exclusive to any particular section of the people. The commandment of treading upon taqwa is for every believer. To follow the blessed model of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is necessary for every person, for without this you can never obtain the love of God. So in this Ramadan, full benefit should be availed of the doors of divine nearness that have been opened for us. He has created a spiritual environment to help us in our progression of taqwa. This environment draws our attention towards following in the blessed model of the Holy Prophet. For example, there are dars of Quran and Hadith which we listen and hear during this month. We should take maximum benefit from these. We should read the Holy Quran and search for those paths of knowledge and spiritual discernment which increases us in taqwa, which develops khashyat of Allah within us. I will also mention a few things with regards to the verses of the Quran I recited at the start. As I stated, the first five verses that I recited at the outset are of Surah Al-Mu'minun, and they speak about a true believer. The first verse tells us that a true believer trembles out of fear of the Lord. This is that khashyat which should be found in a true believer. That is to say, as was explained earlier, The greatness of Allah the Almighty should be repeatedly expressed. A believer is one who believes Allah the Almighty to be omnipotent, the possessor of all powers, and worships Him. A believer is he who believes in the signs of Allah. Such a person is a true Muslim and a true believer. What are these signs? They are all the commands of Allah the Almighty. They are all the manifestation of the signs of Allah, all the miracles that are found in the Holy Quran. All the verses of the Holy Quran, all the commands of the Holy Quran are all signs. Thus, to act upon them is necessary for a believer. When one believes, perfect belief will be developed at that point when he implements all of this. And when he acts upon the commands, this proves to be a source of his progress in faith. It proves to be a source of progress in khashyat of Allah. The next verse states that a believer does not ascribe partners to the Lord. One who possesses khashyat of Allah, one who believes in the signs of the Lord, does not carry out shirk, does not set up partners with God. Even if one does not carry out evident shirk, then sometimes a person carries out imperceptible shirk. Therefore, we need to reflect with a microscopic vision upon our state. It is only then that a person can become a true Muslim. We need to ensure our every word and deed is established upon truth at every single moment in time. This is why the fourth point mentioned in these verses of the Holy Quran, that those who serve the faith, they also spend for the sake of the faith and give their time for the sake of their faith. They strive to act upon the commands of the Lord. Yet even then they remain in fear that whether they are truly believers. He may have acted upon all the commands of Allah, but he still thinks that, will Allah accept all of this from me? Perhaps I carried out some imperceptible mistake that will distance me from the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. That perhaps I carried out some hidden shirk which will cause my actions to not be accepted. Perhaps I did not carry out a command, or perhaps I showed some weakness that will lead to the weakening of the faith. He remains in fear that let not his khashyat of Allah be only apparent and for show. There is a narration of Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, where she asked the Holy Prophet regarding the verse, وَالَّذِينَ يُوتُونَ مَا آتُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَاتٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. She said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, does this verse mean a person can do whatever he pleases as long as he remains fearful of God? The Prophet replied, No, this is not the meaning. This verse means that a person should carry out virtuous acts. However, alongside this, he should always remain in fear and in awe of Allah the Almighty. So therefore, we should always bear this point in mind, that Allah is without need of anyone or anything. Whether He accepts or rejects a virtue, it is His will. He can accept or reject whatsoever He pleases. For this reason, we should always remain in fear, that when we will present ourselves before Allah the Almighty, we should be treated with forgiveness. No one should display vanity or pride upon any act of virtue. Amongst the prayers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he would also pray the following. This is mentioned in the narration. He says, I asked Hadith Umm Salma that, O Mother of the Faithful, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ was amongst you, which prayer did he mainly pray? Upon this, Hadrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray the following. Ya Mughallib al-Qulubi, Sabbit Qalbi ala Dinika. That is, O who changes the hearts, keep my heart firm on your religion. Hadrat Umm Salma stated that I asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the reason for the regularity of this prayer. The Holy Prophet replied, O Umm Salma, the heart of every person lies between two fingers of God. He keeps steadfast whomsoever he wishes, and he turns astray whomsoever he wishes. Thus the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who provides us with guidance, by treading on whose footsteps true taqwa and khashyat of Allah can be understood, by following whom makes one the beloved of Allah the Almighty. This was the standard of his khashyat of Allah, that he was always in fear and awe of Allah. So how much does it behove us to give attention towards this? Allah the Almighty states with regards to such people who have this state and this condition within, that it is such people who in virtues and in goodness will excel. When a person reflects upon his state at all times, it is then that attention will be drawn towards excelling in virtues, and he will make attempts towards this. Or it can be said, these are such people with such a condition whose steps march towards virtues. They endeavor to adopt all forms of goodness. They strive to enhance in taqwa. However, they do not display any vanity and pride upon this. In every condition, at every time, their heart is always submitted in humility before God Almighty. It is such a state that achieves nearness to Allah the Supreme. A great favor and compassion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst his favors is also this, that he taught us the means of supplicating for prayers. One prayer is mentioned in the hadith in this way, which is actually for us. Every single one of us should pray this prayer. It is narrated by Abdullah bin Umar, who said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray in this way, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min kalbin la yakshahu wa da'ain la yasma'u wa min nafsin la tashbi'u wa min ilmin la yanfa'u a'uzu bika min ha'ula'il arba. That, O Allah, I seek your refuge from a heart that is not humble, from a prayer that is not accepted, from a nafs or a self that is not satiated, and from knowledge that is not beneficial. I seek refuge from you from these four. May Allah the Almighty enable us to comprehend this prayer. There is another prayer of the Holy Prophet that I shall present, which touches the lofty heights of humility and khashyat of Allah, which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, which is a perfect model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humility and khashyat of Allah. He offered this prayer during Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj. He prayed, O Allah, you listen to what I say, and you see my condition. You are fully aware of my secret matters and my apparent affairs. Nothing about me is hidden from you. I am a beggar and needy in plight. I am in need of your help and succor. I am afraid and frightened. I have come to you confessing my sins. I beg you like a humble and meek person, and entreat you like a lowly, sinful person. I pray to you like a scared, blind person. My neck is bowed before you, and my tears are flowing in your presence. My body is lying prostrate before you, and my nose is covered in dust. O Allah, do not make me wretched while praying to you. Treat me with kindness and mercy. O you who listens to entreaties the most and grants the very best, accept my prayer. Thus, this was that great Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who gave us the great model of khashyat of Allah the Almighty. He presented this example before his Muslim people at every single moment. Look at every prayer and every action of the Holy Prophet, it is immersed in this khashyat of Allah. It is filled and replete with the fear and awe of Allah the Almighty. This was despite the fact that he was the closest ever person to Allah the Almighty. Even those who attached themselves to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam earned the title of Radiyallah, may Allah be pleased with him. So this is that blessed model. This is that khashyat of Allah. If we follow the example of this Prophet of Allah, if we adopt this, if we assimilate this in ourselves, then we also can obtain the grace of Allah the Almighty. May God the Supreme grant us the ability during this month of Ramadan to comprehend and understand the khashyat of Allah and to lead our lives in accordance with this. May this Ramadan for us produce a spiritual revolution.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.